So I was at my sister and my brother-in-law's this past weekend.
Yes, you were.
In Milwaukee, just thriving. And I know that you're the queen of just, like, getting words wrong. Mm. But I wanted to share one with you that I shared with them, and they were like, yeah, Austin, that's ridiculous. Mm. So up until, like, I was 24, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I didn't see this word written, or at least I wasn't cognizant of seeing it written.
Uh-huh.
And I was reading this book, and the word delicatessen was in the story.
Yeah.
And I legit Googled it because I didn't know it was a deli.
Oh, it is a deli. You know, I feel like we've been here before where, like, you've felt dumb about not knowing a word, and then you've said it to me, and I've been like, do I know what that means? So don't feel bad. But
I don't know. I feel like I came across this when I was reading in the park with, like, my boyfriend at the time. And he was like, what the fuck are you, like, talking about that you don't know? It's a fucking deli. And I was like, I don't think, and I've never heard anybody say, like, oh, I'm going to pop on down to the delicatessen.
That's because everyone's not a douche.
Right. Well, the other pivot we got here, because my brother-in-law has officially, like, by his own choice and cognizantly, chosen to only refer to sub sandwiches as submarine sandwiches.
Oh.
And so yeah. Then I kept being like, well, I'm going to go to the delicatessen and get a submarine sandwich. And it was just, it was a lot. No one says that. It makes you sound like kind of an ass.
I mean, no one says that.
The delicatessen part. I'm here for submarine sandwiches. Let's bring that back.
I would have thought that a delicatessen maybe was like a pastry shop. Like small delicacies.
Like a
treats.
Patisserie.
Yes, yes, yes. Brief side note on getting words wrong. My yep. grandma, her whole life until she was like nearly 60 years old, was writing the word mirror, like reflective surface, as
yes.
M-I-R-R-O. And that was it.
She never thought it was Miro?
Miro.
Is that how she pronounced it?
Nope. Always pronounced it mirror. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's weird. But on that note of getting words wrong, which we often do, and sometimes it's recorded, and that's okay. Welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome. And so we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
Of like 4x dick, like it's like four times as large as usual.
Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right,
that's disgusting.
How though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery. Fuck,
it's totally fine. I said sexy mystery, and you were like, this one time.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm gonna peak in high school and then die.
Why Are You Like This is a mostly weekly... What the fuck is wrong with me? It's
what
been
the fuck
a weekly
is wrong
podcast
with you? This
for
is a goddamn
forever.
Weekly podcast.
It's never forever. Not been a weekly podcast, actually.
We took that safety net off months ago. God.
Okay.
Have a little respect.
I know. We put a weekly podcast out, and it's usually... about society, culture, something that we're interested in, people. We do a little dive on it and try to figure out why people are the way that they are. I'm pretty bad at doing the intro, but this week you got me. Maybe next week you'll get Austin Williams in Chicago.
That's me. And you're once upon a weekly. Man, you really threw me at like a bad way to give it back to you. Listen, I don't think we're letting her introduce the show anymore because
this will be my last time.
That's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati. This is your last.
It is. Ugh. All right. Well, we're talking about getting things wrong earlier, so I just kept getting it wrong.
You know what? It felt on brand. It felt on brand.
So tonight. Whenever you're listening.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
In the bathroom at work, which is kind of where I hope you are.
Picking up your dog shit on the sidewalk.
Tonight we're going to be talking about liars.
Oh.
Which we all are. Are we not?
Yeah, everybody lies. Everyone has told a lie. And if there's someone that says they've never told a whole lie in their life, like, bull.
Oh, I like how you said a whole lie.
I think I was trying to say whole life. Man, maybe we should not start episodes where we talk about saying things wrong because English is coming out in unique patterns tonight.
Unique patterns and phrases.
That's right.
Anyway, so we are all liars. And if people say that they're
some of them whole lies, okay.
Some of them are whole lies. And yep. If people say that they've never told a whole lie, then they're either lying or they are developmentally delayed. So
that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But to kick us off, I just wanted to talk about maybe like lies of our childhood. Do you remember any of your earlier lies?
That's a tough one. I don't know if I could say like with any kind of certainty, like the first lie I ever told or anything like that.
Yeah, that's tough. But yeah.
But I do remember as a kid, oftentimes, I'd say I was generally, quote unquote, a pretty good kid because I'm just generally a rule follower. I generally kind of am a little bit of a rule follower still.
You value doing the right thing.
I do. If I think the rules are morally wrong, I will break them.
Exactly.
But I don't think I was there as a kiddo. Anyway, I think like early lies for me, and I'll tell you like a specific instance, but this kind of seemed like the theme of my early lies. So when I was a kid, I like totally had a tongue thrust. And if you don't know what that means, you can just know that I had a lisp.
Right? Just like, it's an almost just like, lisp.
It's an almost lisp in a kid. And I guess at kindergarten, at some point said, shucks, like, oh, shucks.
Yeah.
Except I had kind of a lisp and it was like the early 90s, mid 90s, I guess. And so it was during a time and place in which sucks was still very much a bad word in a way that I really don't think people considered anymore.
It's an at-home word, or it was for me in elementary school.
Sure. And I feel like everybody says that sucks now. And like, I don't even think that's a thing like parents censor a lot of the kids from hearing them say in the way that they do with other words. I don't know.
My grandma didn't let me say it because she said that it was nasty and it meant a sexual thing.
Yeah, that's what my mom told me as a kid. Too.
Yes.
So yeah, same sentiment. All of that said, I said shucks, but because of this like tongue thrust, fake lisp situation, my teacher thought I said sucks. And so when my mom picked me up from school, I remember being in the car and like when I got home, I was talking to her and I was explaining because this is like what happened from my perspective, but I told it as a lie. I said, hey, this other kid. Like said shucks and like the teacher like yelled at him and like why would she yell at him for that? And my mom was like, oh well, I don't know, da, da, da. And then I was like, it wasn't him, it was me.
it was me. Someone who isn't me.
Yeah. And then my mom just like said to the teacher, like, yeah, my kid has a lisp. That's not what she said.
Aww.
That happened later. It's kind of funny. But I was like the emotional about it. And I think a lot of times when I was like a younger kiddo, when I think of times that I maybe lied to my parents, it would be to like thermometer gauge like their reaction. And then I would be like, this is actually what I did. Or like whoever I told you did that, it was actually me. And then, you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, that's funny. So, I feel like I heard friends do that a lot.
Or yeah, they would be like, I definitely lied that way as a kid.
They would like say that their brother did something and see if the mom got mad, but it was actually like us.
Actually them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Totally. Totally.
The lie that I remember from like,
yeah, I was going to say, what about you? Earliest lies.
Early times, was less well-intentioned than yours. So there's that. But I was like eating Pez candy. You're familiar.
My sister collects Pez.
Oh, that's right.
The dispensers.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar.
So you know how they come in like that sleeve, the refills?
Yeah.
I was like not allowed to have any more candy that day. But I like had my Pez container like because it was a toy. And my mom told me not to eat anymore. And then I remember like looking around and being like, yeah, okay, she told me not to eat anymore, but, like, I'm alone in the living room now with this pack of Pez. And so I stuck a couple in my mouth real quick.
How old are you?
I was living at my grandparents', so I had to be, like, between, like, 2 and 4.
Okay, yeah, you're pretty freaking young. Good on you to recall this so early.
This story has also been told to me, but I at least think that I remember, like, how it felt. And I remember, like, I don't know. I feel like I remember, like, standing in the living room, like, behind the couch. It could be fabricated, but this lie did happen. Anyway, my mom came in, and I had Pez fully in my mouth and swallowed them. And she was like, did you just eat those Pez that I told you not to eat? And I looked at her and I said, nope. And she was like, did you lie? And I said, nope. And then she was like, can I see the inside of the Pez container? And I said, no. And
no.
Mm-hmm. And so then she looked inside the Pez container and saw that I had eaten some, and we had to talk about that I had just told a lie. Anyway, so I did
was
not
this your,
get
like,
away
first
with it.
Intro of like, do you remember having like a this is what a lie is kind of
this
talk
is,
about this situation?
So we did have that conversation. So then like I wasn't like in a lot of trouble. I think I got like a short time out, but like we had like a short briefing on like that was at least
lying
the first time. Yeah. That I had been caught lying. Who knows if I was telling like wildly successful lies day to day, but that's the first time I was reprimanded at least.
Okay.
Yeah. And it felt, I don't know, I felt really bad. Like I remember feeling like very guilty the rest of the day. Yeah. But there was like a glorious moment before I didn't get away with it where like I realized that like, oh, this is a thing I could do. Like, I don't have to follow the rules always because I can just like say that I followed the rules and like secretly do what I want. So I don't know. That sounds bad, but like, is it so bad?
I don't know. Also, just as your friend, this is very validating to me because for like many years, the narrative that was told amongst your family is that you got in trouble in your childhood once. And this is 100% getting in trouble. And this is 100% not the once that has ever been referred to.
It is not.
So you 100% got in trouble more than once as a
child. I was also spanked more than once. So, like, I don't know who's on
some
shit.
Who started this myth about you only being in trouble once? Oh, my God.
I threw like one really out of control tantrum, and I don't know if like that's what they're talking about, but like, yeah, I definitely got in trouble more than once. But I think what the sentiment of what they're saying, and I don't want to get derailed on this, but like, I think what they're saying is that not that I didn't do anything wrong or that I didn't do bad things, but like only once was I like really punished.
Okay, that's real.
Yeah.
That I full-heartedly believe.
Yeah, like there's a video of me as a child flipping my high chair tray over onto the floor, like fully on purpose. And Papa's just sitting next to me, my grandpa, and he was just like, oh, I guess you're done with that, and picks it up, and that's all that happens. So.
I mean, I can't.
It's just that I couldn't get in trouble.
You couldn't get in trouble. Prodigal fucking son. Yeah.
It's a dumb thing. Anyway, back to lying. So, our stories are different. We lied for different reasons.
Sure.
But I wanted to briefly talk about, like, the psychoanalytic theory of self in regards to, like, children's first lies. Because apparently it's, like, a crucial point of development. So, like, if you think about, like, animals, like, non-human animals, as we refer to them now after bestiality.
I mean, yep. Help.
They are not capable of lying. Like, your cat cannot, like, fabricate a truth for you. She can't.
Right.
Yeah, because she doesn't have the ability to think, like, okay, this is the reality of what happened. And she can't also say to herself, and then here's probably Austin's perception of what happened. And then here's what I want Austin's perception to be. If your cat could do that, you'd really be in trouble. But
I would be in super big trouble if she were that good. But I mean, also there is the whole thing of like when she does the mischief, I can't actually totally call her on it because like she can't totally own that she did it.
Exactly.
It would be helpful in finding the contact cases she hides from time to time if we could have that discussion, though. Certainly.
I'm actually, like, doubting what I said now, though, because I'm picturing our family dog, like, like chewing and gnawing at the bottom of the coffee table. And then as soon as we see her, she pretends to just be like licking it or licking her paw right next to it. So maybe animals do lie.
Poppy does shit like that when she is like trying to go eat a plant, which is
all the time.
I feel like our biggest constant fight. Listen, cats and houseplants, man, it's a journey. But when she'll do that, sometimes when she'll like get close to something, then she'll like pretend she was doing something else.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
So, however, she can't like construct a whole narrative for you. So,
no, for sure.
So when a child tells like his or her first successful lie, and successful being kind of important.
Like they didn't get caught is what we mean by successful.
They got away with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Supposedly, like what's happening developmentally, at least in like the theory of self, is that mm-hmm. the kid has a moment where they realize that the parent is not all knowing because they literally kept something from them. Like if you fooled your parent.
It's that first moment of like, adults aren't omniscient.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And that like realization that adults are not omniscient is also a step toward having a more realistic view of others, which I thought was interesting.
I mean, that's true. And that is kind of cool. And I will say in my narrative of telling my mom the story that the kid was actually me, but I pretended it wasn't. I very much felt that. But I think I also always I feel like particularly at that age I like wanted my mom to know, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah.
Oh,
like I lied because I was like afraid, and then I was like, but I just really want you to know the terrible thing that happened to me, like, you know. I don't know,
right? But I wanted to gauge your reaction first.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. So you did successfully like keep something from her. And like
I did. She
manipulated
her view.
She didn't
think I was jonesing. Yeah, no.
Right. So you were successful and I was not, although I mean I was obviously later successful.
Oh yeah, that's probably not the first time I lied, but it's the early one I can really recall. And it's certainly not the last time I lied to my parents. RIP
no,
high
and
school
lies.
Years riding in cars yep. with boys. Anyway.
The lies change in high school because we hit another developmental marker, and like, yes, lying to parents as a teenager is like, there are cultural reasons why we do that, but also developmentally we're at another like boundary pushing stage. So like
totally
in like toddler and childhood, like kids tell a lot of dumb lies, and then like in middle mm-hmm. school kids tell a lot of dumb lies that are like grandiose and like really far-fetched, and like things like that they're the state champion of something they've never actually done before. And then in high school it's a lot of lying to parents.
I never lied like that, but I think in like a get in trouble way, I told the kind of lies that you told in the Pez story of like, did you do this? And I would be like, no.
Fully
but
no.
But like 100% I did. That's a whole
There's
lie.
Like orange dust on my mouth. No.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot look mm-hmm. in there. Anyway, so it's like super developmentally important to lie, even though lying is terrible. All of the skills that we need in order to lie are like the same things that like kind of like lead us to be like independent functioning individuals.
Okay.
So just like cognitive, like awareness of ourselves, of reality, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of other people, of other people's emotions. And okay. the biggest one is like a motivated sense of independence. So in order to tell a lie as a child, like that does take a little bit of an independent streak.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. And if I think about how it felt to lie as a child, I really felt like I was, I don't know, like I really like had some balls when I lied.
Yeah. Did you feel like kind of powerful?
Yes,
like,
I did. Because
yeah,
I would be
it
like,
could be, it can be a power move, like for sure.
I'm pulling one over on these adults. Like y'all control what I eat. But now you have no idea what's going on.
Now you don't even know what I'm eating because I am not even telling you.
I'm not telling you I get out of bed in the middle of the night either. I'll do what I want.
Oh, such sweet freedom.
I used to sneak downstairs and watch Pooh Bear late at night on the VHS, so quiet.
That is hilarious and adorable.
Well, I never got caught. Anyway, speaking of adorable three-year-olds,
Yes.
I wanted to tell you about a study that I read about in a New York Times article. And a lot of what I'm going to be talking about tonight, like science-wise, comes out of research from UCLA and specifically a psychiatrist named Dr. Brian King.
All right, Brian King, I see you.
So he's been studying kinds of lies.
Brian King and a couple of queens. All right.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So recently, a study was done with three-year-olds, and the theory right now is that, like, children figure out how to lie and how to lie pretty well between the ages of 2 and 4.
Okay.
That feels legit. Yeah, and I'm thinking about, like, a 2 and a 4-year-old that I interacted with yesterday, and, like, I can see that.
Okay, yeah.
It's when you start to have shame about, like, your body, and then, like, you start lying about pooping behind a curtain. No, that's earlier, maybe.
That was your little brother, that story you just told. I was there. Anyway.
Anyway, so the scientists took a group of 2 to 4-year-olds, or...
Okay.
So, 3-year-olds, essentially. And...
Take the average, sure.
Whatever. And they put them in a room with one researcher and, like, a chair that they put what they described as an attractive toy to the child behind it. So the child was basically told, like, hey, there's a toy, like, that you're really gonna like, but it's, like, behind this chair and you can't see it. And they said... the scientists would say to the child, I'm going to leave the room for a few minutes. Whatever you do, though, don't peek at the toy. Like, do you promise you won't peek at the toy? And the kids agree. And then the researcher leaves the room. And of course, then the room is videotaped. And
well, obviously, this is for science. Come on.
Yeah. And so 10% of the children do not peek. Do you think you would have peeked?
I wonder what I would have done at that age.
I think it depends on the day and how much I thought, like, I'd be punished for peeking.
Yeah, I think it depends on the day. I think it probably depends on how the setting felt. And I think it probably depends on how I felt about, like, was I scared of the person? Like, did I feel like they were an authority figure? Did I not? Like, it would have been very dependent.
Power dynamics with the research assistant, for sure.
100% would have made a difference.
And then, of course...
If my grade school teacher, like, at any point, or my preschool teacher...
Yeah.
Who I, like, at that age had told me not to, I probably feel like I wouldn't have.
I feel like maybe if it was a teacher who I liked, I wouldn't have. But if it was, like, a stranger... If it was a stranger and I wasn't afraid for some reason...
Yeah, then... and, I mean, how do you spin, like, a science experiment thing to a kid in a way that... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Feel like they can fuck with it. Anyway.
Jury's out. Statistically, we would have probably peaked because 90% of the children peaked.
Fair enough. We probably would have.
But hey. So then amongst that 90% of the ones who peaked, then the researchers asked them if they peaked. They came back into the room and they were like, so, you didn't peak, right? Did you? And 1/3 of the children told the truth, and they said, oh, yeah, I did. I peeked. I looked. And then another 1/3 flat out lied and said, nope, sure didn't. And then the remaining 1/3 just refused to answer.
That I like those. I'm not going to lie, but I'm not going to tell you.
I just no comment.
I have no recollection of the incident, Senator.
So what the researchers concluded from this, based also on, like, the children's demeanor when they were refusing to answer, lying, or telling the truth, was that, like, lying begins to develop between the ages of 2 and 4, like I mentioned, but that what the different groups in the study were displaying was that they were at different stages of learning to lie. So, like...
Okay.
specifically the one third who successfully or comfortably lied.
Was just like, no, I didn't look.
Yeah. So that group like had already mastered the art of lying. They were physically appeared to be the most comfortable of all of the children when they were asked if they peeked. Like they were very calm and said, no, I didn't. The third who told the truth either could not know how to lie yet or just have been having a truthful moment. And then the third that refused to answer, this was the most interesting part to me, but the scientists thought that those kids were in a transitional period where they were starting to understand deception and they had the desire to peek and then not reveal to the researcher that they had done the wrong thing, but they didn't quite know how to do it. So they just wouldn't say anything. And they were the most uncomfortable in the room.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like, I know that this is maybe a thing I can do, but I don't know how to execute it. And like, fuck.
Right. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, I did a bad thing.
Lies.
God. And I remember like how it felt to lie when I was a little kid and just like that white heat in you of like, the teacher knows. The teacher just knows.
I'm trying to think of a situation in which I like, oh no, I can think of times I lied to teachers. Yeah. In grade school. Yeah. I can totally think of that.
Yeah. Did I throw this? Did I look at someone's paper? Are all of those eraser shavings mine?
I feel like I would lie about stuff. Like I remember I would forget to turn in the homework or something and say that I did turn in the homework and like try and make the teacher think she lost it. Like,
oh, I totally did that. I didn't ever do that. That's funny. That's you gaslight the teacher. Okay.
I did that more than once. No.
That's a thing because, I did, like, later, maybe, I feel like, in college.
Oh, I definitely did that in, like, third and fourth grade. I can picture it and it happening.
That's really funny. And I'm sure it worked then, because all the homework was just, like, a coloring page.
Well, and because I was, like, I was kind of a little bit of a brown noser, and, like, I was a good student. Mm. And so, also, I would have had more shame about like having not turned in the homework and like not having done it, this is true, then lying and being like, yeah, no, I did do that. I did turn that in. And my track record would make you think that I was telling the truth. I was like, I mean, why would they doubt me? Because I don't, look, I always do my shit.
Oh, yeah. Having a good reputation in elementary school really gets you everything. There was one day.
It gets you away with a lot of crap.
It does. Like, I really almost never got in trouble at school, despite being, like, a horrible bully to students and teachers. But in music class one time, we had a sub. And you know the sub. It was the woman who had the hearing aid that would buzz.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she, I don't know, I said something like mean or like smart assy to her, and she sent me out in the hall like she should have. And yeah. I was out in the hall and I was crying, and our third grade teacher walked by and she was like, oh, Jamie, what's wrong? And like, I was just upset because I was in trouble and I was embarrassed and I was worried they were going to call my parents. And instead of just
you,
being,
I will say about this about you, you would like throw down crazy shit and would say wild things to people, but you usually didn't get in trouble. And then when you did, you like immediately were like viscerally emotional and panicking.
Yep. What a fucking annoying student. Okay. That's it's not my best color. But it is a thing I did. So this teacher had sent me out in the hall, and our third grade teacher, because we were in the same class, walked by and she was like, oh, Jamie, what's wrong? And instead of just being like, I was an asshole and I got in trouble and now I'm upset about it, I said, the sub sent me out in the hall and I'm in trouble and I don't know why. Which fully was a lie. Like,
right.
I did know why. And so my teacher took me to the office with the principal and said, explained the situation and said, this is a golden child.
Oh my God.
So that, now I feel like,
talk about some grade school privilege.
I feel like so embarrassed for sharing that now.
I love this story. I love this story.
Yeah, and there's not like super a point to this story except like these are
the
ways.
Same thing though. You were like kind of gaslighting the sub. Like I was gaslighting. Like, listen, I always do my homework. You must have lost it. I don't know why. Because I remember full being like, oh, I didn't fucking do that. And then I'd be like, yeah, I turned it in. Like,
you
what?
Must have lost it.
That's yeah, I so know. Funny. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and it's funny.
I was
to think
riding
about,
my reputation, quote unquote, and so were you, because you usually didn't get in trouble.
I wasn't worried about my reputation, but I was using my reputation to my advantage.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think I was doing both. I was worried about my reputation and I was using my reputation.
Yes. Yes. Huh. It's interesting, like, the different motivations behind the lies. And we're about to get into that.
And I think it, like, I mean, we should acknowledge in a wholehearted way that, like, two little white girls in suburbia probably could get away with a lot more than a lot of other folks.
1,000%. Like, yeah, no part of me is, like, not aware of that privilege right now. And it is gross. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, like, it's nasty. And I think about things that I got away with in grade school, and then I can think about if
that I got away with
people...
later too.
Yeah, and later. I mean, that's true. That I can think about like peers that probably wouldn't have for one reason or another. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or if you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. Not worth not noting. Anyway, though, this is about lies. So
this is about lies. I mean, privilege and lies are very, very connected.
That's fair. They are. Yeah. I think that's true.
But this week I spent a lot of time like thinking about and researching like why we lie, because like obviously there's like a lot of different motivations, like moment to moment that's going to change. But like there were like, hold on, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like primary types of lies that Brian King and his UCLA associates spout out in their theory. Yeah, thank you, Brian. So I wanted to like wax and wane about times we've told or haven't told these kinds of lies.
Or
maybe like when someone told us one of these kinds of lies and like how we feel about it. And this New York Times article specifically laid these lies out in relation to personality disorders that like each lie would be a hallmark for. So like when I read the examples that the article gave, they will sound very extreme, but I think that we can find like more real world examples of them too.
100%. And I definitely, in prepping for this episode, thought about lies I've told in my own life or lies I would be comfortable telling now. Mm-hmm. And I think about things that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, 5, 10 more, whatever years ago, I would have 100% lied about this. And now there are things like that I'm like, I would never lie about that now. I would just say the truth. So I'll be curious to see if some of these types that you bring up are something that I'd be like, yes, at one point I would have done that, but now I wouldn't tell that kind of lie.
Oh yeah. And
or
there are
vice versa.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. Or vice versa. And then also like, I think that we will think certain kinds of lies are worse than other kinds, but we might not agree.
Which one's like less moral? Sure.
Yeah, but we might not agree which ones. So
I'm excited.
With that said,
let's get into it.
Here we go. First, manipulative lies. So it says manipulative lies are the hallmark of the sociopath or the antisocial personality who is driven by utterly selfish motives. Such people are not necessarily criminals, but they may gravitate toward the fringes of trades like sales, where their bent towards lying may serve them well. Since sociopaths feel no remorse or empathy for their victims, they are capable of the most cold-hearted lies. And a typical manipulative lie is, they say, a lie that defrauds an elderly person of his or her savings.
Okay, I think that my homework lie, like you lost my homework, is a manipulative lie.
I think it is too.
100%. As soon as you started describing this, I was like, yes, I just described my early sociopathic lying at school. Yes.
Yeah. You're like, actually, teacher, you're crazy. Please go home and feel bad about this.
I'll say this. I don't feel like I tell those kinds of lies now. like, I can't think of, like, interpersonal or family relationships or romantic relationships that I would tell any kind of lie like that. But I will tell those kind of lies when trying to negotiate, like, my cable rate or, like, dealing with people who, like, I pay bills to.
Oh,
I will,
I will
tell manipulative lies.
If it's a corporation and someone where I'm like, I don't give any fucks about you, then...
Yeah, and I won't try and be mean to the person I'm talking to, but I might say, well, like, well, so-and-so told me that, like, it was this much money, which is, like, you're saying it's, like, way more. And, like, I probably would do that, trying to make my internet cheaper, 100%.
Yeah, or when someone was coming to buy a table from me and they said, actually, I can't be there till tomorrow. Is that okay? I messaged them
back. And then
back.
You'd be like, somebody else wants this, yep. And they'll come today. Yeah, totally. Yep.
Or when someone messaged you something like, not local, $40, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you message them back and you say, actually, I just got an offer for 70, and you see what happens. Anyway, that is manipulative.
I definitely lied on Craigslist about having more than one person.
Always, always got to generate a feeling of competition. A feeling of competition is what makes your items move.
And listen, you got to create that artificial supply and demand, honey.
Oh, and I just reread part of what that summary. It says they may gravitate toward the fringes of trades like sales, where their bent towards lying may serve them well. Which
perfect.
Is literally
so
what we
like,
just
great. We use this kind of lying when we're trying to con people into giving us more money and yep. or keeping more of our money and not giving it to them. And I think people do this kind of lying in a job negotiation way all the time too, that people say they make more money at their current job than they do,
mm-hmm.
or that they're like another offer they have going is different, or that they value certain parts of like an offer maybe more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next kind, and this one is maybe the most interesting to me, and it also feels like a little bit of a gut punch. Anyway, the melodramatic lie.
Okay.
Melodramatic lies make the person the center of attention and are natural for the hysteric or histrionic personality. Such people are searching desperately for love. They are also more taken with emotional truths than the facts of the situation. Dr. King says, and this is Brian King, not
Dr. Martin
not
Luther
the
King.
Dr. King.
Right.
He says, casual lies are to the hysteric what license is to the poet. So a melodramatic lie is almost like if you have like feelings that you want other people to understand, if you're like, this is my like emotional truth and like this is how I feel, and
like my day was so stressful, you might use
right.
hyperbole to describe what happened.
Exactly, where like you are fabricating parts of the story in order to like get your feelings across, because like a histrionic person like may value like the emotional truth over the actual facts of the situation.
And that could be the kind of like when you people tell like, you know, stories of catching really big fish or like, you know,
yeah.
like adventure stories
well,
that you might make yourself sound braver and make the adventure like sound better.
That's true, especially if like it was really fucking scary for you and you like want people to understand that. We'll get to grandiose
lies,
though.
Or you were really proud and excited, and you want people to be as proud of you or excited about whatever happened as you are.
True.
You might make it sound better because you're not sure the truth would be enough.
Right. So, like, while melodramatic lies, I feel like, are maybe, like, almost like the most annoying lie on this list.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and you can clock them in some people like immediately. You're like, that's not
oh,
what
yeah.
happened.
Oh, yeah. So like, while very annoying, almost like the most understandable, because it often comes from a place of like, yes,
I want you to understand how I felt.
Right. So like, yes, wanting attention. And like, that's the annoying part. But then there's like the, hey, I maybe feel misunderstood, and this gets me closer to feeling like you understand me. That is definitely not all melodramatic liars, though.
Yeah, and some of them are shittier than others, you know?
Oh, yeah. So the example that the article gave for a typical melodramatic lie is falsely telling a friend on the phone that one has just slashed one's wrists.
Oh, my God.
It's an extreme example. I told you these would be extreme.
Dream example, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So now we get to grandiose lies, which is similar to the fish tales lies you were just talking about. Although those could be melodramatic also.
Okay, but grandiose, this maybe feels more in line with that. Go on.
Yeah. So grandiose lies, they typify the narcissist. So people with narcissistic personality disorder, they have a deep need to win constant approval of others. And they're always, always, always like striving to present themselves in the most favorable light. Of course, like, yes, narcissists do this constantly, but like all of us do it sometimes.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, well, not everybody, but broad brush, everybody, you know, wants to be liked.
We all have an ego. Like, we all have an ego. Yeah. It says they are prone to exaggerate their abilities or accomplishments in order to seem more impressive. Because narcissists feel entitled to special treatment. For instance, believing that ordinary rules do not apply to them, they can become incredibly reckless in their lies.
Okay.
We all do a little of these, like on job applications and things. Maybe not a fully grandiose lie, but like a little fudge that makes you seem like just a little more desirable than you are.
You might make an experience you had seem weightier than it is, or more important than it was when describing it.
Right, right. Their example is inventing a magna cum laude.
Oh, yeah, if you, like, full lie about actual accomplishments. Well, I think if two people lie about job titles or compensation or just...
It said job responsibilities were the most lied about thing on resumes and, like, applications across the board. It was, like...
Oh, interesting.
Exaggerating or making up responsibilities that you didn't have at a previous job to suit you for your new job.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, because if you're like, yeah, I haven't had a position, like, in this field before, but at my old job, I was responsible for things that, like, I also would do here, then that makes a lot of sense to me. Don't do it, though, guys. Just be honest.
It sometimes.
It'll bite you in the ass. It truly will.
Absolutely would, yeah.
So, moving on.
Okay.
If you've told some grandiose lies on your resume, you may later have to tell evasive lies. And evasive lies are typical of the borderline personality, if we're still talking disorders. People with borderline personality have wildly vacillating moods and impulsive actions that constantly get them into trouble. So a lot of the borderline person's lies are told in order to avoid blame or to shift responsibility for his or her own problems or actions onto another. So your lie about homework, while perhaps manipulative, I would say is maybe an evasive lie, because you're shifting the responsibility from yourself onto the teacher.
That's real. Or, like, I guess the other, I think of that in social situations with people sometimes, where one party is upset and the other party full understands and knows why the other person is upset and what's wrong, but then they pretend like, well, like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I don't even remember this happening. Like, I mean, I don't even remember doing that. Like, or
that's
like,
also why gaslighting.
I mean, it's 100% gaslighting, but that's kind of evasive, right?
Yeah. Gaslighting is both, maybe. Evasive and manipulative.
Manipulative, yeah, I think so.
God. Gaslighting is the worst.
Gaslighting, ugh, I can't. I can't even.
It really fucks with people. Anyway, so you were right on the nose with, like, a typical sort of evasive lie. Their example was blaming a spouse's negative attitude for a drinking problem. So being like, the only reason I drink is because you're so rude to me.
Oh, my God.
If you did more housework, I wouldn't have to drink.
Oh, that's so not great.
It's really, really not great.
That's tough. Damn.
I strive in my adult life not to tell any evasive lies, because they feel terrible and they are awful toward other people. But I've definitely been in like a lot of work situations where, like, unfortunately, I've watched people who are above me in position, like, blame like lower hourly employees for mistakes that they made. And that is incredibly uncomfortable. And none of us should ever do that. Just please take responsibility for what you've done.
Well, 100%. And maybe another evasive lie that I think I probably maybe would have leaned more on in like my high school years, but have feel no desire or responsibility to, you know, contrive a story on now, is sometimes when you would have somebody invite you to social plans and you either didn't want to go or you had other plans or whatever it was. I think I often in like high school years and maybe like early college too felt compelled to be like, oh, well, like if someone invited me to something I didn't want to go to, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I like can't, I have a test tomorrow, when that wasn't true.
Or I would be like, I'm not allowed to go.
Right. Or, oh, I have a family thing. And I think some adults probably still do that. And maybe there are people who like rely on like, I have to work, when maybe that's not what's going on.
Sure.
But like all of that said, I think that's something I felt pressure to do at some point in my life. And I feel no pressure to do that now. And I don't feel like my peers do, or people I'm close with now, but I really feel like they did at other points in time, like the people I was close to. But now, if somebody, you know, doesn't want to go to something, somebody's like, you know what, I think I just like need to like be at home and like do nothing tonight. And it's like, cool. Like no one cares.
Yeah.
But I think it was really hard to say that when you were 16.
I also think that, and I don't know, because like 10 years ago, like, or 15 years ago, whatever, like we were 14, 15. So like I don't have an adult perspective on the timeline of this, but it does feel like in the last 10 years there's been like such a self-care revolution that
that's real.
Like even if we were like 28, 29 like 10 years ago, we still would have told evasive lies, because I don't think that 10 years ago it felt okay ever really for most people to say like, actually, like, I just really need like a night to recharge by myself. Like, I'm really busy. I just like really need to be alone.
Or like, I just like don't want to go to this party.
I don't want to go. It's not really my thing.
I just don't want to go. Yeah.
But I feel like there's more space for that now. And maybe it is because we're older, but, and there's no way for me to know, but maybe it's also because culturally it's a little different.
I think those are both valid points.
Yeah. 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 Okay, so on to the last kind of lie.
Oh.
These are categorized as guilty secrets. And guilty secrets account for many lies of the compulsive person, a type who is generally scrupulously honest. Compulsives pride themselves on following the rules and attention to facts and details, but they also suffer from a big fear of being shamed. And so they can lie in order to prevent other people from finding out about things that they themselves would meet with disapproval. Their lies are often mild and about things others would never think to lie about. For instance, it says one man lied to his wife about going to therapy because he didn't want her to know that he was going, because he felt like, if he
shame,
like, yeah, he felt shame and he felt like he should be able to like manage his life himself without going to therapy, and so he kept that from her.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that
I think
sucks.
That's hard for a lot of people. Yeah,
yeah. And the only example that they gave was once again lying about being in therapy. But I would actually say
stop shaming people going to therapy.
I know.
Gosh.
Stop it. You're a psychiatrist. Stop it. But I would probably expand guilty secrets, even of like the garden stupid variety, to include things like me reading Harry Potter in my closet in middle school so that my parents wouldn't see me because they made fun of me for it. That's a really dumb thing to lie about, but it's a thing that I did because I felt like, I didn't want to deal with my parents like just being shitty and dumb about like a book I was reading.
Sure.
And also, I think I probably felt like whoever I was or whoever like my family thought I was, like that person like wouldn't read Harry Potter. So I felt like I had to like hide that in order to like not have these contradictory pieces of myself show.
Interesting.
And while Harry Potter is a wonderful book that everyone, truly everyone, can enjoy.
Yeah.
I didn't used to feel like that. And it was a guilty secret, as was being gay. But that's also something that nearly everyone can enjoy.
Yes. I love that. I know. And well, like, I guess other things that came to my mind when you first started reading this one about guilt or shame can often, I kind of pivoted towards like body image and how people might be dishonest about what they were eating or like eating things.
Secret eaters. Sorry.
Like secret eaters.
Yeah.
It's a great show. And then also like maybe feigning being like somebody who goes to the gym or is
people
more
front
active
like
than they
go
are.
To the gym like, hard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think also like you could, I think, flaunt maybe some of like your activities. And I think social media is like in this lane of where you're showing a highlight reel, but you're posting pictures that make it look like things are great when like you actually really don't feel that way. Like that's kind of a,
and then it's almost like, well, then you kind of build up these guilty secrets if you're like constantly showing the world a highlight reel of your life. And like, if you want that to be true and you want that to be like what people think, then it's almost like the reality of like the disappointment of your life is a guilty secret. Oh, that feels terrible. Hey.
Yeah.
So Instagram your bad days? No, don't do that. No one wants to see that. Anyway.
I think there's an Instagram. There's somebody on Instagram who I just like really love.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I think a lot of people like about her is, well, she's got like, I feel like a real cult following. She also like all the time will just be on her stories, like at home watching America's Next Top Model with her dog. Like she's very real.
Oh,
and I think people
I like
appreciate that.
That.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, this is relatable. And it makes me feel like, oh yeah, maybe like not everyone is like always out doing something, you know? So.
Yeah. Like only one day a week did you like climb a mountain with your dog. Like the other days you guys were at home. And that's chill.
Oh, super chill.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the kinds of lies, according to Dr. Brian King. I will probably think about those a lot when I hear and see people lie around me in the near future.
It does shed a little light on, like, potentially what you think motivation could be. Do you think there's any other kind of lie that when you were reading about these, you thought that didn't really touch on?
The article did like talk about one other kind. However, I felt that that other kind was like also could be divided amongst the kinds we just read. So something else that Dr. King, talked about was children's inability to tell white lies. So they were
like a does my ass look big in these pants kind of anecdotal.
Exactly.
Things.
Exactly. And some of that has to do with like developing empathy and also like how we talked at the beginning about like animals, not like non-human animals, not really being able to understand the perceptions of others, and that understanding the perceptions of others is kind of like what it takes to make a lie. Because you have to like have a desire to change someone's perception to something false. And so when he talked about little kids in that like study with the toy where they were like lying and saying that they hadn't peaked, he was trying to figure out like how like the skill of a lie develops. And so he also studied like little niceties and like social lies. Like you just said, like, does my butt look big? Or like,
how did you like the flan?
Yes, it was. Did you like, I forgot.
Dinner was good. Like, do you like my new haircut? Yeah.
Yes. So do you like my new haircut? Like, do you like my shirt? Like, does this taste good? little kids, even though they might sometimes like tell manipulative lies to get what they want, like they don't understand that like making you upset is something they can avoid by lying yet. So that is the other type of lie, is like lies for social ease.
When did they talk about in the article when they think people realize that you can start lying for social grace kind of thing?
Yes. So it is during like the middle school period. So like preteen development, or like tweens, is when that starts to happen. That's the same period where some kids who are like doing what's called like testing your superego, some kids tell like really grandiose lies during that period. And I mentioned something about that earlier, but like when you go to middle school and like a kid that you don't know is like trying to get your attention and is like, well, like I water ski every weekend. Like my dad takes me water skiing. You know, like stuff that like they don't do, or like
I have
trophies for like this and the, or like I shot a rifle yesterday. Like things that didn't happen.
I've been to Disney World 70 times.
Things like that. Yeah. Yes. My uncle is the president. Like that's not true.
It's usually a lie.
Usually a lie. So middle schoolers tell bullshit lies like that, but they also start to, because they're lying a lot and like figuring out like their identity and like what they want to be, and they're like starting to develop values for the first time. They also start to notice that like, yes, lying affects other people's perceptions of me, but they also become attuned to like other people's emotions. And like middle school is a very emotional time.
Oh, so emotional.
Very emotional.
Hormones be raging.
And there's a lot of drama for girls and for boys and for others.
Absolutely. That's a lot.
And so that is the time when like lying paired with like learning how to be social with other people, with like understanding empathy, comes together to like allow you to figure out how to lie for social ease when it's not that big of a deal. And so actually this study said that like most 12 to 14 year olds can lie just as seamlessly and smoothly, both in a manipulative way or in a social ease way, as any adult. So like you're pretty much fully developed with lying by the time you're 14.
Oh wow, okay.
But if I think about,
in time to, like, start really doing troubly things.
It is. And then you get into just, like, some limit testing. But do you feel like the quality of your lies, or like how it felt when you were telling them, do you feel like that's different as an adult than it was, like, as an adolescent or as a child? Like, is the experience of lying different for you now than it used to be?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I think both in like what I would lie about, like I think when you're younger, you're more willing to lie about things that now I would go, why would I lie about that? It's so trivial. Kind of like the plans thing that I'd be like, no, I'm just like, I'm not fucking coming.
Oh yeah.
I think when people tell you a really elaborate story, you know it's a lie. You know, when it's like a lot of details that why.
Yeah. Do you find people like, doing that in your adult life?
Not very often.
Me too. Not often, but it does happen. And we'll come back to that. I don't want to interrupt you.
No. Totally. But I think I truly probably lie a lot less because the stakes of things I used to lie about, like again, like trivial things, like don't seem as high. But like, yeah, if I am going to tell like a white lie or a lie of omission, I probably don't think about it as hard or worry about it as much of like if somebody was like, you know, oh, like, how was dinner wherever? And I would just like, oh, yeah, it was good, da 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 da. Whereas, like, maybe in another place, like, if dinner actually was crap, I might be inclined to be like, oh, yeah, it was so great. We had, like, you might dwell on
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where if I'm just going to passively be like, I'm not getting into that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's great. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, and that's like, almost more of just like a lie of convenience then. It's like, I don't, like, you don't really want to hear about how my dinner was just okay / kind of crappy. And I don't really feel like telling you about it right now. So, like, I'll tell you two sentences and we'll move on, because like,
yeah, like, let's just keep this bus moving,
because you're like valuing the end result. Like, it's, you're like saving that person the trouble of like hearing you tell like a briefly annoying thing.
Totally.
Yeah. And that to me, like, while yes,
or if I'm worried that like something would, if like the if I worry that the truth would hurt their feelings, you know. I mean, that's what I meant from it. Like, if dinner actually sucked somewhere, I don't think I would not say it sucked to save someone's time. I think I would not say it sucked, like, if they were the one who told me to go there, if they were the one who cooked it.
Got it. I thought you meant when a coworker does, like, the, like, how was your evening? And you want to just be like, yeah, it was good. And that's all.
No. I mean, I'll tell people. I'll be like, nah, it's kind of, like I'll be like, that was stupid, but, like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but if they made it. That. If they made it, I would always, I mean, you can't.
If they made it, or if they were like, oh my God, you have to try this restaurant. And then I went and I was like, why the fuck did I have to try this restaurant?
Yeah. Like, I would find something positive to say and like be evasive about the rest.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel that. And yeah, so like that
we had
would
a great
be, you know,
time. This drink was really good. I enjoyed the atmosphere.
I feel like I just don't dwell, like, if I don't have something nice to say to the right person. Like, I just be like, oh, yeah, great. Anyway. Yeah.
No, that is probably the right thing to do, though. I should do that more. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think maybe those are the ways I feel like I probably lie. If anything, like, I feel like I lie less. And maybe some of that is just feeling
less.
More comfortable in who you are and what your truth is. But I mean, yeah, aside from less, I don't know. Do you think you do anything different?
I feel like growing up into an adult has been like, I just feel like I've been like untangling like lies that I've told myself, like lies that I've told other people, things I didn't understand about myself, like for years. And so like a lot of that has to do with like being like a deeply closeted gay for a long time. So like,
sure,
there's that. And yeah, actually, let's just talk about that, because that's probably the easiest example. But I feel like I always knew that I was gay. So like that is the truth. And like a deep down part of me knew that. And a couple times like I admitted it to myself quietly and then like shut it away back in a box. And so I feel like the way that I've lived my life until like even just like the last couple of years, even when I was like first out, I don't feel like I was like living as though I was in any way.
Okay.
I feel like because I didn't want to be gay so bad, like you can convince yourself of like lies and like make them new truths. And like I was able to.
That's real.
Yeah. So I was able to like lie to myself hard enough that like I fully lived and operated like as though I was interested in men, but just like had a deep pit in my stomach and then got ulcerative colitis. But
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing. I love you so much.
No, thank you. That led me to tell like a lot of evasive lies. Like I felt like I had guilty secrets all the time. I would like exaggerate relationships that I had with men to seem maybe like they were like more of a dating situation rather than just like I fucked this person. Like classmates or like family members would like ask me about my dating life. And so I just feel like I got like so deep in the habit of like constructing like this life that I didn't have and like keeping track of it and like partially living it, because like I wasn't living like as an out lesbian at all. So like I was living this lie.
Right.
And
right.
It's so weird because you like almost believe it yourself. But then it's like so many tiny lies to keep track of, because like even then later, like after I like came out to friends and like was not even really dating, but just like going to gay bars and stuff like with friends, then then it's like when my family's like, oh, like, what'd you do this weekend? Like, then it starts to be like, oh, I'm lying a little bit about this. Like, I'm lying about where I went. Like, I'm lying about who I went with. Like, now I'm telling you some lies to, like, encourage you to think that I'm, like, interested in men. And so, like, I don't want to get derailed on this, but just, like, honesty has been... No, I think this is poignant. Thank you. Honesty has been, like, a really tough and confusing thing for me, which sounds crazy to say because, like, the truth is the truth is the truth. But then I'm like, but what's the truth? So
I don't think that sounds crazy to say.
Thank you. That makes me feel a little better.
I really don't. I mean, I'll say as somebody, and this isn't the same thing, but as somebody who's super extroverted, I think I feel a lot of pressure to be like fun and peppy all the time. But like, I'm full onus that I struggle with depression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I think I lie about my mood in the way that I act sometimes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thought I totally about that, feel that being yeah. a lie, really, until you kind of...
Well, and then I guess my situation I'm describing is similar to yours, but, like, ratcheted up in a way that, like, imagine if, like, you were so... it was so important to you for some reason to preserve the image of yourself as, like, a hyper-extroverted, always happy person that, like, you were...
And I think... I mean, and truthfully, I think it is in certain company. I feel yeah. that pressure probably still now.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it becomes an evasive lie. Like, if you are, like... I think, like, if you're displaying your life to people on purpose as though it's, like, very different from how it is. And, like,
lying about I hadn't thought of my behavior that way as a lie before. That's a really interesting lens to kind of frame it through.
And I don't think I ever would have thought of behavior as a lie before, except that, like, when I was, like, in college, there was, like, a time when I just, like... I don't know why I did this. It's so dumb. But, like, I was, like, out at a bar with my parents and my dad went to the bathroom. And I, like, flirted with the male bartender, like, so that my mom could see that happen. So that, like, she would, like, not think that I was gay. Which is, like, the dumbest thing ever to do. But, like...
I don't... Honestly, like, I don't think that's dumb, though, if it's...
And that was a lie, even though I wasn't saying anything to her.
No, but, like, I think that... I mean, that's, like, a really hard thing to... I don't know. I don't think that sounds dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. So lying can be a lot of things. And so the original question, I guess, was, do I feel different? Like, my lies are different now than they were then. And I would say absolutely, because I'm trying really hard to untangle, like, all of those lies that, like, I've created. And actually, it's like, it even feels like confusing sometimes because I'm like,
what is the truth? Because I've told myself something else for so long.
Yes, and I hate even to, like, this is not a good color on me, but just, like, shame will really do a number on the way your brain processes truth. Yeah.
But here's the thing, I think you're being really candid and really honest, which I appreciate and admire and respect, because I don't think that there is a single person who hasn't lied about things that, if recounting them to someone else, like, doesn't feel like a moron. Maybe not about every lie you've ever told, but certainly about some of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. So, yeah, I am striving to be a more truthful person, trying to understand my feelings is a big part of trying to be truthful. Because if you don't understand how you feel, then you just start talking, then you say things you don't mean, and then you feel dumb. Anyway,
that's a good call, because I'll say I think sometimes when I'm not sure about how I feel about a situation or what I really think,
I'll dig myself in a hole by accident.
I will dig a hole instead of saying I don't know or I'm not sure how I feel about this yet.
I need a few minutes sometimes, to figure it out. Like, these things are okay.
Yeah, sometimes I'll just talk, like, out of my ass.
Yeah. And then
I'll be outside of that conversation. I'll be like, what did I even just say?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like an intentional cognizant lie. It was just filling space.
Yeah. It's just wanting to deliver an answer that's satisfactory sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe not evaluating, like, whether or not it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what happens in police interrogations.
Oh, sure. I'm false confessions and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, my lies do feel different. I mostly now just lie in situations where I only feel okay about lying in situations where, like, it's just to, like, save someone's feelings. Like, things like, do you like my new sweater, haircut, tan, whatever it is. You just say yes. Yeah. Yeah. Or you figure out a way to talk about it and not tell them that you think it's ugly. Because really, what good is that? No good.
I mean, truly, sometimes really, what good is that?
No. I did briefly want to just mention, this is just kind of like, we touched earlier on, like, adults who tell, like, full grandiose lies, like, that no one would ever believe. Like, what the fuck is that? So, for example, my girlfriend has a coworker who is fully an adult. She's in her mid-20s. And she has said recently, and these are just two of the many things, there's a whole list. She said that her dad is the president of the Ohio River.
I mean, like, first of all, that is not a position.
That's not a position. And she also said that her family owns all of Pico de Gallo.
Like the salsa?
But, like, you can't own pico de gallo. Like, you
can't own a recipe for, like, a... No.
No. No.
What if I was like, I own vegetable soup?
That would be, like, the same statement.
That's so bizarro.
It's so bizarre.
Does she know what pico de gallo is?
I don't think it matters if she knows what pico de gallo is. It's...
Touché.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But I just, like... I don't know. She told me that story a couple weeks ago, and it just, like, that honestly, like, partially inspired me to, like, research this episode, because I was just like, what the actual fuck is going on in your brain?
Like, how the fuck did we get here? Right.
Yes.
Huh.
And my conclusion from the reading that I did that we talked about and some further readings on histrionic personality disorder and people who are, like, just absolutely chronic liars...
go ahead, our armchair psychiatrist.
Thank
Let's diagnose.
You. So I think that this individual, while I am not qualified to give a
Take
diagnosis.
Take your PhD off the wall. I know you printed it off the internet 20 minutes ago.
Took it down.
Perfect. Carry on.
I think that she probably has either histrionic personality disorder, like we read about above with the melodramatic lies. Or maybe like... a little borderline-y or something. But essentially, like, if we look at the kinds of lies that we talked about earlier, saying that your dad is the president of the Ohio River or that your family owns Pico de Gallo, those lies, I feel, are grandiose, for sure.
I agree.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exaggerating some kind of impressive thing. And I don't know, they feel kind of manipulative and melodramatic, but, like, maybe they're just grandiose. I don't know. This girl is clearly unwell. And the thing that I thought was the most interesting when I was reading about, like, histrionic personality in particular, which is the lyingest personality type. Yeah. So
tell me more. I feel like I might have dated one of these.
So histrionic is part of the cluster B or axis two personality disorders. Those are like the ones we were talking about earlier, like narcissism, borderline, antisocial, histrionic. And there might be one more. But they're like personality disorders. So like you can get therapy and you can like learn tools to like interact with people better. But there's like not a cure.
Right. You can't rewire your brain, despite what people thought about lobotomies at different times in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the hallmarks of histrionic personality disorder specifically is lying without fear of the consequence. And the consequence is being defined as, like, yes, like, catastrophic things happening in your life. Like, you lie... at work and you get fired or social things like social consequences such as I told everyone that my dad was the president of the Ohio River and no one believes me. And that is a social consequence. Like,
right, in
the room, the moment where everyone is like uncomfortable or walks away.
When everybody's like, I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. Yeah. And so people with that personality disorder apparently just like don't give any shits about that moment. And it's just, it's like something doesn't click for them that it's making people uncomfortable. And so they just keep telling these lies for attention. And like, they'll tell like fully a different story a week later and have like no care for changing the details. I mean,
that's interesting.
Yeah. And now I'm just like going through my head because service industry can be a crazy place. And I have definitely worked with a few people who like to tell some tall tales.
Honest.
I don't know, but I've never told a lie like that, I don't think. Have I?
I don't think I have. Maybe as a kid, I don't know, but I don't think so.
No, I don't. I've just pretended to be foreign in a Panera. That's pretty much it.
You've pretended to be foreign more than one place just to avoid people. Listen.
Himi, n'est-ce pas?
The amount of times Jamie has just spoken in tongues that were indecipherable to like create a scene or to make things complicated for someone who wanted to have a conversation with her that she didn't want to engage in. I mean, there have been a lot.
I haven't done that in a while and I want to. Ugh. It's so fun.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, don't change.
I won't. So, obviously like histrionic personality and people who just like tell full-blown grandiose lies are kind of like at one end of the spectrum. It's like, I don't know, they're fun to think about, but they're not necessarily fun to be around all the time.
100%. And like, I will say, I hope to not be one of those people. I don't want to be friends with one of those people or necessarily date one of those people. But Talented Mr. Ripley, great film, one of my favorites, and it's just built on nothing but lies.
Yeah, go watch that if you haven't seen it and you're into the idea of lying as a lifestyle.
First of all, you should be into it because young Jude Law, young Matt Damon, young Gwyneth Paltrow, young Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's
young
such
Italy.
A good movie.
I'm joking. Italy's old.
And they're in Italy and it's fabulous. But like, if you want a psychological thriller based on nothing but lies, it's a great movie. It's one of my faves.
I might watch that tonight. That sounds great.
Oh, love.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay, regardless. So Talented Mr. Ripley at one end of the spectrum of liars. But let's not forget that we all do it. So we talked about all the different kinds of lies. It's got me thinking a lot about the kinds of lies that I tell. So liars on all ends of the spectrums, yes. I would like to wrap us up in a verbal game that doesn't necessarily take into account like that we're not huge liars. So we're going to have to pretend that like we're really, 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 really awful, like huge liars for this game if you're down.
Listen, if it were life or death, I'd lie about all sorts of shit.
You can pretend it's life or death if that may make you feel better about this game. So why don't you just pretend that and cue the vibraphone. So do you remember? Of course you remember. But Casey Anthony.
Yeah, of course I remember Casey.
So Casey Anthony, I am not allowed to say officially that she killed her daughter, but you make your own decision. But something
I love that you say you're not allowed, like somehow you're like beholden to some sort of like legal agreement.
Well, America decided that she didn't.
Yeah, anyway. That's true. If you believe in the justice system, which if you believe in the justice system and it working successfully, that's a whole nother episode. But anyway,
something else. Yeah. But something that Casey Anthony did do for sure and fully admitted to was that for years she pretended to have a full-time job as an event planner at Universal Studios, but she never worked at Universal Studios at all. So
wait, I didn't know this.
Oh my god. Oh yeah. So every morning she would get up. She lived with her parents in Orlando. And her mom would usually watch Kaylee, her daughter, and Casey would get dressed in her business outfit. And she'd get in her car early in the morning and she'd leave for the whole day. And then she'd come home at like 6 or 7 and tell them about how work was and tell them anecdotes. And she'd have work trips that she had to go on and she would cancel like planned events because she would be like, I just like work is just like making me so crazy right now. But she never worked there at all. And then when the police, like, were investigating her and wanted to, like, see a day in her life to get a feel for her schedule, she took them to Universal Studios and pretended to know people. And all of the people in the office were just, like, confused as to who this woman is. And she's, like, walking around, like, giving them a tour of a building that she's actually never been in and, like, waving at these strangers like they've been her coworkers for years.
Wait, was it, I mean... The police figured that out immediately, or?
The police did figure that out.
Okay.
However, her family never did, despite having to give Casey, like, gas money all the time. Like, her car was constantly running out of gas. She would just, like, call them and be like, I'm 40 miles away and I need gas. And they're like, you have a job. Like, what's going on? But they just kept,
That's so crazy.
They just kept bailing her out and not asking questions. So... the hypothetical for tonight, with that scenario in mind, is that I want you to imagine, for some unknown reason, you are living in your parents' house again and you are unemployed.
Okay. But okay.
You're going to pretend to have a full-time job. You're going to do the Casey Anthony thing. So what job would you pretend to have, and how would you execute that lie and make it believable?
I mean, I think I would just pivot back on something that would make sense for me. I don't work retail anymore, but I managed in retail for forever. The only thing that would be tough is, like, every store I've ever worked in, my mom is, like, really about, like, giving me a visit from time to time.
I thought about that too.
That would be what was
hard. 'Cause I was like, if I was in a restaurant or if you were in a retail store.
Yeah, 'cause, like, with the surface hustle, it's, like, way easier. Yeah, that's a troubling thing. Because I was like, oh, I'll just do that. The hours are sporadic in the service industry, and so, like, they'll never know. It's bizarre, whatever. I guess I'd have to pick something not that. Then I'd have to pick not a service hustle, which felt easy until I thought about that logistical issue. I mean, I think I would have to pick a job that it felt in my wheelhouse and was realistic. That I would have it. I guess I'm going to be 9 to 5-ish hours because I can't justify like service hours because I can't facilitate actually working there. Yeah, I think I'd have to get something that felt like a retail or inventory analytic kind of pivot, like stuff that, you know, I do now.
Yeah, but where you're like never like public facing.
Yeah, maybe if I were back at my parents' house in Cincinnati, maybe I would just feign employment at, like, Luxottica or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might feign, like, a warehouse job that was, like...
Yeah.
Maybe, like, weird evening hours that, like, I'd prefer to be out of the house anyway. Then there's the issue of how you get money and how you have money for gas and...
Well, that's the thing. I don't know how I would facilitate...
Funds. Steal. You just gotta start stealing.
Yeah.
What do you actually do with your time while you're gone from the house?
It depends on your end goal, because, like, do I want to work again? Am I trying to get a job? I mean, Casey Anthony doesn't sound like she was.
She was trying to not do anything for forever.
I think I'd be trying to just, like, research. I feel like I'd take all my time and effort to, like, research how I was going to, like, keep turning, like, air into money to facilitate this lie. But
and
I think
that's
maybe
your
I would read
job.
A lot. I mean, that would be my full-time job, for sure. But I think maybe I would read a lot. Like, I would try and fill my brain with some knowledge. I don't know, maybe I try and con some people if I'm already, like, lying, you know, real hard.
Maybe start, yeah, like a little fortune telling,
because,
like,
if you're really lying to everybody, it's not like you'd go and say, like, oh, I have this job, and then, like, go hang out with your friends.
Well, that's what Casey did, but
oh, okay.
Yeah, she would just go hang out in her boyfriend's apartment all day. I would not
wow.
do that.
But
then you don't want to be
me.
Spotted driving around on the street.
That's true. Like,
it's really tough. Yeah. And then the come to Jesus moment where you have to tell.
I'd have to be a regular at, like, a little coffee shop, but that was somewhere, like, so obscure and far away. And I would just, like, read and hang out and be friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you make a nice buddy. The barista could be the only one who knows your secret.
Or like some little like diner like off some highway that no one I would ever see would be at.
Yeah. When I used to work at a breakfast place, I used to wonder if anyone that came in was just like pretending to go to work every day.
Oh, what
if? Probably not, but I think there were a lot of people getting hours that they shouldn't have gotten while they were at the cafe.
I mean, that I full-heartedly believe.
Oh, yeah. They were for sure conning the clock, if you will.
I mean, what would you do? What would you do with your time? Would you just post up somewhere?
I think that I would pretend that I had, like I said, like a weird warehouse job so that like no one could or ever would want to come see me.
Right.
And then what would I actually do all day? That is so tough because like you truly have no money and you can't be in the house.
Right. God, I feel like I'd be bored.
I would probably like rollerblade a lot. Maybe go on a lot of walks, spend some time at the library, I mean
having would be fun really... isn't hard when you have a library card.
It's not. Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Ugh. For forever.
Ugh. I don't know. Maybe like bop around at thrift stores. I would just like have the constant feeling of paranoia, though, that like someone who knew I should be at work would see me. That's a quality of life changer, you know. Yeah. In the same way, my early years of being out and when I would go to a gay bar, I had constant paranoia that I would see someone that I knew. But then I would be like,
I mean, that makes
you're
sense.
Here too. Yeah.
Yeah, I could understand how that would be. I think
it's that
sometimes
feeling
when
of getting caught, which is just not fun.
I think I felt that sometimes about going to therapy. Like I'm like, I hope I don't run into someone.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It's totally fine. But like, yeah. Sometimes
don't have
you
a
just
guilty
feel like,
secret about it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. I try not to. But like, sometimes, yeah, I could see how you'd be like worried about that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to tell us what guilty secrets you have to tend to, what garden of lies you have to take care of, you can get
us. Or how
us.
You gaslighted your elementary school teachers.
Or that. That's a fun one. I like when little kids are manipulative, but grow out of it.
Yeah, absolutely grow out of it.
Because it shows aptitude, you know? Anyway.
It does.
Where can they get at us?
As always, you can get at us on the internet at whyareyoulikeuspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, or you can find us on Twitter at WAYLTTweets.
All right. Well, good night.
Good morning.
Goodbye.
Bye.